here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. Praise God. God bless you tonight. It's good to see you here today. Amen. I know that once again, there are so many that are not here tonight. Several that are out of town, others that are sick now and going through the course. And so we're going to lift them up in prayer, pray for them. One day, we got two things. One day, we'll all be back in the house of God together. But there's a greater day that's coming. And we won't have to worry about sickness. We won't have to worry about any of that other stuff. Praise God. Hallelujah. We'll all be around the throne together, praising and magnifying God. God bless you. Getting our Bibles tonight, let's turn to the book of Daniel, chapter number 3. While you're turning there, amen, let's do remember to keep Brother Tucker in prayer. And got to go by and see him today. He is out of ICU, and but he still has a bacterial infection. He's probably on the end of that. They're still taking precautions there, but nevertheless, we want to lift him up in prayer. Pray that God would just continue his healing upon him and give him strength in his body. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, do you have Daniel chapter number 3? All right, let's begin at verse number 3. The Bible says, "Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all of the rulers of the provinces." What he's just stated is there's a whole lot of people with a whole lot of authority and power. All right? So we're going to bear that in mind. "They were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." Praise God. Amen. Tonight we're going to talk about Understanding God Part 3, but I'm going to use this title. I'm going to talk about exercising my understanding. Amen. Exercising my understanding. Praise God. Can we just ask the Lord to help us and be with us here tonight? God, we love you. We're giving you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We're giving it all to you. You alone deserve it. I pray, God, that you would reach down and that you would help us here tonight. The power of your Spirit would prevail, Lord Jesus. Let revelation come in amongst us, Lord. Help us, oh God, to be able to see, to understand that which is being given unto us, Lord. I pray, God, that your divine touch, Lord Jesus, would be in this house here today. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God, we praise you and magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We worship and exalt you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God, praise God. God bless you. Amen. And you may be seated tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't make any promises tonight, but good intentions are exactly that, good intentions. Amen. Praise God. Let's just see what the Lord will do with us tonight. I don't want to rush God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I do think that this all is very important. Let me go back and let me just do a review. We've had several weeks of revival since we have talked about this subject tonight. And so let me bring it back to your remembrance. In the first part of understanding God, we talked about the power of understanding. And that understanding is knowledge, and knowledge is power. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 17 said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And so He is imploring us that we are to be able to receive, to get, to garnish, amen, the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Get a revelation. There are some things that only come by divine revelation. Sunday morning, I didn't even mean to tie this in, and I'm just beginning to think about it even now, but Sunday morning I preached about, amen, you got to have the Holy Ghost, or you need the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God, because there was things inside the temple that you cannot see without the oil being applied to the lamps. Amen. And so you got to have the Spirit of God. You've got to have the oil. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. On the outside, you can understand repentance and you can understand baptism in Jesus' name. But when it comes to the inside of things, you need a revelation. And that revelation or that enlightenment, the ability to be able to see in the tabernacle, came through the power of the oil. Amen. And when you get the Holy Ghost, there's going to be some things that begin to make sense to you. Praise God. If you got confusion in your life, amen, then just pray that God would fill you full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And bring that understanding. He goes on to say that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. Amen. So this is the will of God. This is what He said. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ would give this revelation unto you so that your understanding would be opened and you would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And so God wants you to be able to understand Him. God wants you to have revelation of Him. God wants you to know Him. And there is a reason for that understanding of God. Amen. If one can really understand all that God is, then I would submit to you that He's not big enough. Amen. Praise God. He ought to exceed your understanding. You say, well, then why do I need to understand Him? Because the more that you understand Him, amen, the greater that understanding is. It's like going from here to let's just say Hutchinson, because I've been going there quite a bit. And it's like going from here to Hutchinson. Just because I get in my truck and go 5 miles does not mean that I have arrived. But when I go 5 miles, I'm 5 miles closer to where I want to be. And after I've gone 20 and 30 miles, that does not mean, and once I've traveled for 45 minutes, that does not mean that I am there. I'm just on my way. And that's the way it is with living for God. Amen. As you travel, as you progress, you will have levels of progression and revelation that God will begin to explain Himself or reveal Himself unto you. Amen. Praise God. You say, well, God's not revealing anything to me. Then you stopped. You've stopped. God will lead you, amen, as far as you desire to go. But if you get to a place and you say, I don't accept that, I reject that, I'm not going to do that, amen, then God's not going to reveal Himself unto you in a greater way. But as long as you keep following, you're going to learn more and more and more and more about Him. How do you know your spouse's likes and dislikes? It's not because he gave you a list or she gave you a list on day one and said, this is everything that I like and this is everything that I dislike. Amen. You learned it because that you lived with them. You learned it because you spend time in the years and you grow to know them. You grow to understand them. You grow to look at them and say, whoa, wait a second. What did you just hear me say? All right. Yeah, you grow to understand. You say, wait, That look tells me a whole lot of things. How did you know that? Amen. It's through the years you begin to get that. You begin to understand that. And that's the way that it is with God. The longer you live for Him, the longer you walk in truth. The Bible says that the Spirit of truth will lead you into all truth. Amen. Truth will begin to open up unto you. More truth will begin to open up to you. And if it's not, then you stop somewhere and you sit down. Amen. It's time to get up and to follow after the Lord. Praise God. Amen, amen. Many times our revelation comes because of His reservations. Let me just say it like this. He is what we need when we need it. He is what we need at that current time. He is the peace that passes understanding when we need that peace. He is the counselor when we need that counseling. He is all powerful when we need that. Praise God. He is what He is to us. Amen. At different times in our lives, opening Himself up unto us and causing Him, amen, us to be able to understand Him, amen, in who and what He is. He just continues to give and He just continues to be. Praise God. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 9, He told Paul, when Paul was going through some things, if I could say it like this, Paul was sitting there and he was saying, and the Bible said that he had prayed three times for God to remove this thorn that is in his flesh. And I can just imagine, number one, Paul's perseverance of him just continuing to implore the Lord about this. Amen. But I can also imagine his offense. As he is imploring the Lord, he's becoming offended in that God's not answering my prayers. Amen. Let me just tell you something. Sometimes you don't need your prayers answered. Say, well, if God cared for me, He would answer your prayers. If He answered your every prayer, you would quit trusting in Him. You got to learn how to walk by faith. And when everything doesn't make sense, you still got to be able to say, you know what? It doesn't make sense right now, but I'm just going to keep on walking. And in walking, you please God, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Praise God. Amen. Jesus Christ isn't your little government subsidy. Amen. That you cry out for help and all of a sudden He comes about. Jesus Christ, amen, isn't under your authority. Amen. We are under His authority. We belong to Him and He loves us. And sometimes He doesn't give us what we want because He knows that if we get everything that we want, that we will self-destruct and we will destroy ourselves. Amen. But the blessings of God begin to come down upon us as we walk in faith, as we walk in obedience. He begins to bless and lead us, showing us and revealing Himself unto us in a greater capacity. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. And so I can imagine that Paul's getting a little bit offended here. He said, you know, this is about the third time since I began to ask, you know, I don't see what a big deal it is. I got this thorn in my flesh, not physically, but here he is. He's talking about it. And he said, you know what? He said, I would like it to be removed. And the Lord just simply didn't answer his prayer, but he told Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. You need to learn that. You need to learn. You're not going to learn that God's grace is sufficient unless you're in the place where you need the grace of God. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Praise God. And he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Praise God. And so he got this revelation. Amen. As the Lord was speaking unto him, and he said, my grace is sufficient for. Yeah. In other words, his grace is sufficient for me. Amen. God was talking to Paul personally. Amen. Personally. And he said, look, he said, I heard you three times. And let me just tell you, my grace is sufficient for you. And you know what? That satisfied Paul, because Paul would go on and he would say, I will therefore, gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Praise God. Amen. God is not only in the prayer answering business, but he is also in the guiding of life business. Amen. So sometimes he isn't necessarily answering our prayers, but he's guiding our lives. Amen. You say, well, it's strong. Let me just tell it to you. Amen. Some people would say, oh, Pastor Cowan, he can be a pretty rough guy. Amen. I don't know that you can make it with my pastor. Amen. I remember a man coming up to my pastor and he said, Pastor, he said, I tried to call you yesterday. He said, you sure did 17 times. You say, oh, that's a meanie. Why didn't he answer the phone? And he said, I know. He said, I tried to get a hold of you, and I tried to get a hold of Mama Jay. And he said, I know you did. You tried to call her as well. I know you did. And he said, well, why aren't you answering the phone? Do you care about me? Do you care about me? He said, yes, I care about you. He said, but let me tell you something. He said, God's going to lead you and help you. And the man said, well, you know, are you just going to let me drown? He said, no, you're going to be a stronger swimmer when it's all said and done. Praise God. That's the way that God is sometimes, because he knows that you're going to need to be a stronger swimmer, amen, later on in life. And so you've got to be able to get through the challenges of today. Praise God. I've got this revelation of him that he will never leave me. He will never forsake me, but he will be with me until the end of the earth. And when I cannot trace him, I still trust him. And when I don't understand what's going on, I rely upon his character. God is good. God is faithful. I may not feel like he's faithful now. I may not feel like he's good right now. I may be going through the bottom of life right now, but I'm going to stand upon his word. Why? Because he's God and he changes not, and he's faithful forever, and his word establishes that, and I'm just going to believe it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just love him here tonight. Amen. If you went to the local gym and paid money to hire a trainer so that they could help, you know, reshape your body and get your metabolism working and all that other stuff. Amen. How would you feel about it if you sat down with that trainer and you said, you know what, I'm just kind of sore from the last time and stuff, and my body's just not got all this energy, and I'm just craving all this. And they just say, you know what, let's just skip today and go get some donuts. Some of you said, I'd like that a whole lot. But that's not best for you. I told my wife many times, I said, oh, yeah, that's really, really good for my attitude right now. It's going to help my attitude a long ways right now. But you understand what I'm saying. And it is the goodness of God. Number one, the Bible teaches us that it's the goodness of God that leadeth unto repentance. You're not going to repent if you don't feel like repenting. In other words, let me say it like this. You're not going to repent if you feel awesome, great, and wonderful. But you repent because you've been called on the carpet of God. And it's the goodness of God that leads us unto repentance. And it's the goodness of God that puts us through some tests, because he sees a little bit further down the road than we see. It's the goodness of God that sees these things. Say, well, you know what? I just don't understand. Let me just be honest. There's a lot of things that I don't understand either. I just have to rely upon God. And I also understand that, number one, life is going to be life with God or without God. But it's going to be a whole lot easier with God. It rains on the just and the unjust. But if I go through it with God, it's going to be a whole lot easier, because he's a faithful companion. Praise God. Let me move on, or I will never be done. Praise God. And so, God may not always answer the spoken wish, but he will never withhold that which we need. Praise God. And so, therefore, Job would write, and he would say, and we talked about this in lesson one, he would say, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Acquaint is an action. It's something you're going to have to do. It's an effort that you're going to have to put forth. I'm sorry, but you can't just sit here and just meditate upon him and hum. Acquaint yourself with him. with him. There's so many different ways that you're going to acquaint yourself with him. You're going to have to spend time with him, talking to him, praying, meditating, reading his word. But you're going to have to give effort to understand or to know him. And the Bible says that if you will do this, thereby good shall come unto you. It'll happen. Praise God. It's not always the easiest. It's not always the desired. It's not always fun. But it's right. And the Bible says, good shall come unto you. Right. Psalms chapter number 90 and verse number 1 said, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place. You have been our dwelling place. And so I just tell you today, we need to get back to that place. That he is our dwelling place. Not our visitations. Not our vacation. But he is our dwelling place. That we can say, in him we live and move and have our being. He is my... I feel the whole... I could preach right here for a long time. Amen. We need to get back to him being our dwelling place. Amen. Not to the place that we come running to. Like the man of God that would run and grab a hold of the altars and say, oh, I need you now. Amen. But as David would say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go. To the point that he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wicked. Amen. Praise God. I want to know where you're hanging out. Amen. Where are you hanging out physically? Where are you hanging out mentally? Amen. Are you hanging out at the residence of depression? All you're thinking about is negative things and such. Let's get out of that. Let's get back to the dwelling place of the house of God. Let's get back to his presence and let's get in him and let it be so that we would be able to say, amen, even as the author would say, in him we live and move and have our being, praise God. You'll be more happy. You'll be better satisfied. You'll have a better life when you totally give your life over to Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. And so we finished up and we said the church that will never, a church will never rise higher than their perspective of God. Amen. You're not going to give $100 worship to a $10 God. It ain't going to happen. You don't even like going to some food places because you say they're too expensive. Yeah, that's right. There are places that you won't go shop because you say it's too expensive. In other words, what you are equating to it is it's not worth the price that I have to pay. You're not going to give all-out worship if you don't have an all-out God. Praise God. And so you show me that has something like a half-mask worship. Half mass. Somebody that's got a half mass worship, amen. They don't have a very good value, appreciation of who that God is. Amen. But the more that you begin to appreciate him, the more that you begin to recognize the value of him, amen, your worship goes up. You see somebody with great worship. I didn't say great noise. I didn't say great praise. I said great worship, and we'll get to that hopefully by the end of today. Amen. But somebody with great worship has got a great value, a great inspiration, a great revelation of who that their God is and all that their God is. If you've got small worship, you've got a small God. If you've got big worship, you've got a bigger God. Amen. A small God equates to solicited praise, but a big God equates to unsolicited praise. Amen. There's a church that has a small God. If the preacher or the song leader or the worship leader has always got to stand and say, come on somebody. Somebody ought to say
say amen. Somebody ought to say praise the Lord. Somebody ought to clap their hands. Somebody ought to give the Lord praise. If I was there, I would do this and I would do that. That's solicited praise. But when you've got a church that's got a revelation of the mighty God and all that he is, it's not hard to worship him. It's not hard to praise him. It's not hard to live sin free. It's not hard to live above the reproach. It's not hard to lay down the things, amen, that God has asked you to lay down, because you understand you've got a great God, and no matter what it costs me in this life, it's worth everything if I just lay it down. And when you get that mentality, your worship will arise, your praise will ascend, amen, and you will become a strong individual in the house of God, in the force, in the army of God. Praise God, but that's the problem with too many people. Amen. They begin to equate value. Say, well, God asked this of me. You know what? I'm not going to give it. You know why you're not going to give it? Because you don't have that great of a value of God. We think more of ourselves. I want what I want. We call kids that do that as spoiled. And that's, you only want what you want. Praise God. But you know what? God laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for us and bought redemption. But you know what? You don't get to really see and understand redemption until you got the oil. Praise God. And then even then, it's kind of hard because that's in the Holy of Holies where there was no lantern. Praise the Lord. But we're not going to go back to there. Praise God. We need a bigger understanding of who God is, because when we get that understanding, our worship just follows suit. Because we realize that's why you can walk into a store, you can walk into a dealership, or you can walk into a place, you can walk into a house, you can walk into whatever it is and stuff, and you get to thinking about it, and you say, you know what, I'm willing to lay down the money. I'm willing to lay down whatever price it is, because that's how much I desire it. I believe it's worth it. Amen. It may be worth it. Oh, Jesus, help me. My mind just went. Somebody said, well, you got to have one before it can go. Sentimental value. It may have a whole lot of sentimental value, and it may mean more to you than it would to me. But you have assessed it, and you have said, this is worth it. And we may be standing back looking at it and say, you know what? I don't believe it's necessarily that worth it, that much worth it. But there's something about it that you understand that I don't understand. There's something about that car that you like that I don't like. There's something about those clothes. There's something about that purse. There's something about those shoes. There's something about that house. There's something about whatever it is. There's something about it that arrest your attention, and you say, you know what, amen, I'm going to start saving for those things. I remember as a young boy, amen, out there pouring sweat, pushing a lawnmower at however long, 9 years of age or whatever it was, pushing a lawnmower because I wanted a scooter, and mom and dad didn't have the money to buy it, but I wanted it, and so it was worth all the sweat. It was worth the hard work. And I remember going down, some people would never remember this, but there was an old store called Western Auto. And I remember going down to Western Auto and walking in and putting my money on the shelf. And I took that scooter and I rode it by myself all the way home. And some people would think, I'd never spend my money on that. Amen. You got to have that mentality with God. Amen. To the place that you say, you know what? I got a $9.99 God. Amen. Or you can say, you know what? Amen. I've got a God that money cannot buy. And whatever God would ask of me, I'm going to lay it down, because when I was nobody, when I was messed up, when I was involved in sin, when I was on my way to a devil's hell, he stepped into my life, he changed my life, he purchased my salvation, and God has been good to me. Praise God. So your worship does tell me a whole lot of things. Your worship tells us the value of your God. Amen. Lesson number two, understanding God. We began to talk about Jesus when he was being baptized, and the voice from heaven came out of heaven and spoke and said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And immediately, the Bible says, immediately, Matthew chapter number 4 into chapter number 5. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter number 3 into chapter number 4. The Bible said, immediately he was led into the wilderness and was tempted. And one of the first things that the devil said was, "If thou be the Son of God, then command." So the devil began to question immediately who God said that Jesus Christ the man was. And we need to understand that. Let me just tell you something. God thinks very, very highly of you. Of me? Yeah. He died. He died for you. He would have done it for one. That tells me how much he loves me. And that tells me how awful hell is. If it was just going to save one. And so God thinks very, very highly of you. The Bible teaches us that we are blessed and highly favored. But that doesn't mean that you feel that way all the time. The Bible says that we are from above. That he has blessed us and set us upon high. And there's sometimes that you feel like you're looking up to see the bottom. The Bible teaches us that he has set us in a sure place. But there's a lot of times that you feel like you're on shaking ground. That doesn't change what God stated about you. That just tells you, amen, that number one, the adversary is against you. And the adversary is trying to bring confusion into your life. Amen. Let me just say it like this. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are in life. I don't care if you're in the church or out of the church. Like I stated before, life is going to be life. It rains on the just and the unjust just the same. And so the very things that you go through in life, there is somebody out there in this world tonight that is going through some of the very same things or has already been through some of the same things. Amen. And so we can't point our finger at God and say, "God, you're at fault for all of this." That's not the truth. That's just simply life. Praise the Lord. And that's the devil taking advantage of people's minds, amen, and people's situations, and trying to discourage them and trying to pull them down and to try to pull them away. And this is what lesson number 2 was all about. Praise the Lord. And so here is the Lord coming up out of the waters. Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, coming up out of the waters, and a voice from heaven says, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." Praise God. That would send cold chills up and down my back. And then he walked straight out of the water into the wilderness, and the first thing that he does is meet the devil head on, and the devil punks him up and says, "If thou be the Son of God, then command these stones to be made unto bread." Just because the devil wants to make accusations doesn't change what God thinks about you, feels about you, or has declared you to be. You got to stand upon that word. You got to stand upon the promises of God. And you got to be able to tell him, "I am highly favored. I am blessed. I am the head and not the tail. I am going to be." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It happened 3 times. 3 times. Amen. The devil pushing him around after 40 days of fasting. Because that's when the devil's got to get you. Is when you're in your weakest moment. That's when he's going to come after you the hardest. And so here he is. And then when we get to the 3rd test, the devil just simply says it like this. "All right, forget it. Let's cut the charades out. Let's just get to the point." And he takes him up to a high pinnacle. And he says, "I want you to look at all the kingdoms." All right, this is where it's going to get into lesson 3. But he said, "I want you to look at all the kingdoms. There's no kingdoms if there's no rulers. There's no kingdoms if there's no power. There's no kingdoms, amen, there's no glory if there's no kingdom. But because there was a kingdom, there was power, there was rule and authority, and there was glory." And so what the devil was doing was he was saying, "I'll give you power, I'll give you authority, and I'll give you glory if you will what?" He said, "If you will fall down and worship me. That's what it was all about. It was all about worship. It wasn't about stones being made into bread. It wasn't about falling down and having angels come and bearing him up. It wasn't about that. It was about authority, power, and glory, amen, in exchange for worship. The devil will pay your price if you will fall down and worship him. It doesn't matter what it is. You set yourself a price tag and the devil will pay it, amen, in order for you to fall down and to worship him. It's not about anything else. It is about worship. That's what it's all about. The devil doesn't care about anything else. He only cares about worship. Amen. You say, well, I'm at the place right now. I'm getting ready to lose my house. Let me just tell you, he ain't moving into your house when you leave. You say, well, you know what? If, you know, I'm just on the verge of losing. I think I'm just going to walk out. Amen. If you filed bankruptcy, amen, and you walked out of your house, the devil ain't moving into your house. If they came and took your car, he ain't taking your car down the drag on Friday night and showing it off to everybody. Amen. If you lost it all, he's not interested. There's only one thing that he's interested in, and that's your soul. He's not interested in your assets. He's not interested in anything that you have. He's not interested in all of your wisdom and all that other thing, your smarts and all. He's not interested in that. He's after your soul, and that requires worship. He is after your worship. Amen. Sometimes the biggest challenge that we have is when we come to the house of God and we just don't feel like worshiping God because we're too tired. And that excuse and that justification is as old as the Old Testament. Amen. When Moses went before Pharaoh and he said, amen, God said, let my people go that they may go into the wilderness and worship me. And Pharaoh basically said, if they got enough time and energy to go out there and to worship, then they're not busy enough, they're not working hard enough, and they got too much energy. And so he doubled their workload, and he caused them not to feel like they had the energy to go worship or the time to go worship. But friend, when you come into the house of God, you need to recognize the value of your God. And you may not feel like $1.50. You may not feel, amen, like a Sam's Club Coke, amen. You may not feel like a Price Saver can of vegetables, but when you come into the house of God, you got to look at the value of your God, not how you feel, and say, I'm going to be like David. I'm not going to go into that house and offer that which costs me nothing, amen. And when you come before God, you bring the best that you have, and you worship God with everything that you have. And you know what? God shows up, and the Bible says that he's looking into the house, and he's looking through the praisers, and he's trying to find somebody that is worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Oh, I want him to find me. I want to be easily found. I want him to know, here I am, God. I don't feel very good. I'm extremely tired, but oh God, you are worthy of my worship. Let's take a moment and just worship him. Praise God. We are so fickle. We are so fickle because we're humanity. We're so fickle in our emotions and stuff. And when God is blessing and pouring it out, oh, we're singing that song, if he never blesses me again, still gonna praise his name. But you get down in the mully grubs and you change your song and your tune. And you're like, well, if God would do this, then I would do this. God's still good. God's still good. Praise the Lord. And so, lesson number two, we talked about understanding that which I don't understand.
And that's, it's all about worship is really what it is. That's what it's all about. It's all about worship. The devil does not want you to worship the Lord. He doesn't care how much noise you make. Because you can make a bunch of noise in the house of God and go out there and do whatever you want to. You can make all kinds of noise in here and go view pornography. You can make all kinds of noise in here and go out there and drink beer. You can make all kinds of noise in here and go out there and commit adultery and commit fornication and all this. You can make a bunch of noise. But when you're worshiping, it changes a lot of things. We need to get back to worship. Praise God. Praise is necessary because the Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But the Bible does not say that the hour has come that the Father is looking for those that praise Him, but those that worship Him. You praise Him for what He's doing. You worship Him for who He is. He said, I am God and I change not. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so that brings us to tonight. And so I was studying today, and in studying, the Lord laid something upon my heart that I immediately stopped, and I went back and I started researching the book of Daniel. And I came away not necessarily with a new revelation. I just got a new perspective of it. And so I would encourage you that the next time that you go and begin to read the book of Daniel, read it with this in mind. What is the object of worship? That's basically the entire book of Daniel. We think the book of Daniel, this is about prophecies, end time, about the 70 weeks. It's about dreams and visions. It's about things we don't understand. I guess so. But look at it from a different perspective. Look at it as, what is the object of worship? Okay, so let me dive through this very quickly. Here's the setting of Daniel. There are two powerhouses, kind of like United States and Russia, United States, China, United States. There's two powerhouses in the world at that time, Babylon and Egypt. Jerusalem, Israel, all of them, they're not a powerhouse. Babylon and Egypt. Babylon and Egypt collided. They went to war. Babylon won. Babylon marches out of Egypt and marches into Jerusalem and overthrows Jerusalem. They set up a vassal king. This is where Zedekiah, and all those other ones, they come into play about right then. And so Nebuchadnezzar takes people from Jerusalem, and he takes them to Babylon, and he holds them captive. That is how Daniel becomes a captive. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego become captive. Ezekiel becomes captive. All these other, that's how they become captive. It was through a war. And so, there they are. And the reason that it was that way, God gave them over to their idols. Because there was a time that the Israelites were looking at Babylon and thinking, oh, what fun they're having. I wished we could have that much fun. I wished we could do that. I wished we could dress like that. I wished we could go there, and I wished we could do that. And so they were in love, loving the idols of all these other countries. And so God gave them over to that. And so here comes Babylon, a enemy of Jehovah, an enemy of God. And Babylon overthrows Jerusalem, and they throw all these people into captivity. You say, well, how do we know that they're an enemy of Jehovah? Well, on one Babylonian gate, just one, on one Babylonian gate, we could find over 500 pagan deities embroidered into that gate. But not one of them was to the unknown God or to Jehovah. So there's over 500 pagan gods. Sun God, moon God, grass God, water God, dark God, all these other things. All these other gods, but not Jehovah. Babylon is very, very stooped in idolatry. And now, Israel is bound in this idolatry. Because they didn't value their God very high. And they have valued the gods of the Babylonians and the gods of the Egyptians to be greater. So they forsook their God to worship these gods, and they go into captivity. So now here they are in Babylon. And we'll skip through the rest of history there. But here they are in Babylon. And the whole object of this is worship. And so chapter number 2 starts, Daniel chapter number 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And so he wakes up the next morning, he's greatly stirred. And Brother Gavin, if you could find that, Daniel chapter number 2, and it's probably going to be verse 2, 3, somewhere in there. And you can see where Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says, yep, give me the next one. Here it is. So here's Nebuchadnezzar and what he does. He calls all the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to show the king his dream. You know what? That's all the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers. You know what all that is? That's right. It's witchcraft. It's witchcraft. Because that's who they were. They were not God-loving, God-fearing people. They were involved in astrologies and magics and sorceries and all these other things. And that's who he calls to come interpret his dream. And it doesn't happen. And so we get into the dreams. Well, then Daniel comes in, obviously, and Daniel interprets the dreams. And so say, yay for Daniel. So then we go to Daniel chapter number 3. And in Daniel chapter number 3, because that Babylon is not a God-fearing, God-loving country, just because Daniel interpreted the dream, they still like their astrologers, magicians, and sorcerers, and the Chaldeans. They still like all of those people. And so Nebuchadnezzar creates this golden image. And he makes a decree. And he says, hear the decree, that at the time that you hear all kinds of music, imagine that. In other words, what he was saying is, we are going to mimic a church service to the best of our ability, and we want you to fall down and worship. You say, well, how do we know that the church had it first? It was in heaven. That's where it all started. It started in heaven. All right? So the devil says, I'm going to mimic what I saw in heaven. So he says, when you hear the sound of all kinds of music, I want you to fall down. And falling down is not sufficient. You say, well, I'm just going to give in. That's not sufficient. It's not going to stop there. He said, fall down and worship. Not fall down and make some noise, but fall down and worship. And if you don't do it, the same hour, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Said, everybody ready? And so the trumpets began to sound, the dulcimer, and all these other things began to sound forth, and everybody fell down and began to worship, except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so the rulers, those with authority, went to Nebuchadnezzar, and they said, hey, you need to know that there are three people in the kingdom that did not fall down and worship your golden image. He said, bring them unto me. And so they brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar says, is it true? Did you not hear? And is it true that you did not fall down and worship?
And somewhere down in that chapter, Brother Gavin, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego began to answer. And they said, O king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. We're not second thinking this. We're not giving thought to this. We're not careful. We're not measuring our words so that we don't offend you. We're just going to tell you how it is, all right? We're not careful how we answer you in this matter. And he says, if it be so. Now, I want you to pay attention to this. They said, if it be so. If this is the way that it's going to be, let us tell you something. We firmly take the stand. We firmly believe our God, whom we serve, is able to. They had a revelation. And their revelation was going to depict their worship and what they wasn't going to worship. We got a revelation that the God that we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. In other words, we're not bowing. And our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. And he says, but if not. You know what? There's some people that predicate their whole relationship with God on if God does it. But if God doesn't do it, then forget it. I quit. That's not worship. That's not worship. That is being self-centered. That is trying to tell God what he's going to do and what he's not going to do. I mean, that's the truth. We can't get to this place that we predicate our worship and we predicate our living for God upon whether God does or God doesn't. The three Hebrew children give us a firm example here. And they say, look, king, we've got a revelation that our God is able to deliver us out of the fiery furnace. But if he decides for some reason, whatever reason that is, I don't know. He's God, not me. And if he decides to not deliver us out of that fiery furnace, we're still not going to bow down. We're still not going to worship. Just mark it down. It ain't going to happen. And so they said it like that. They said, we're not careful to answer you. Because I've got a revelation that my God is greater than you, your little gods, and anything that you could concoct. And so if God wants to take us out of the fiery furnace, he will. But if he doesn't, that's okay too. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I don't know that they were necessarily feeling that away, but they had a revelation. I'm not for sale. God's been too good to me. And so they stood, amen, and they resisted. And the Bible says that they were thrown into that fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar looked in a little bit and scratched his head. And he said, did we not throw three in there? And they said, yes, we sure did. He said, then why is there four in there? And the fourth one is like the Son of Man, the Son of God. Amen. There was something miraculous that took place. Child of God, there's going to be times that you just got to plant your feet and say, I'm not moving. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not backing up. I'm not shutting up. I'm not shutting down. I'm not giving up. My God is able. I've got a revelation. And if everything is taken away from me, as Job would say, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. You've got to have that that mentality and say that if it all disappears, if it all goes down the drain, I still have a God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think. God has not failed me, and God will not fail me. And when it's all said and done, I shall be like him, for it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, that when he shall appear, we're going to see him as he is, and we're going to be like him. That's worth it. That's worth it. As the song would say, every long mile, every hard trial, everything that I go through is worth it. But I'm not just going to hold that. I got a revelation, and because that I have a revelation, my worship is going to grow stronger and stronger. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. That is why that you must give yourself to know him. Acquaint yourself to know him. And you got to be at peace with all that. Amen. The world seems to be falling apart. My world seems to be falling apart. Amen. But you've got to acquaint yourself with God. How do you get to know God? Let me just give you a firm example. Number one, we can get it through reading. Number two, we can get it through praying. Number three, we can get it, and these are in no specific order, but you get it through preaching, and the preaching of the word of God that is able to save you. Amen. Begins to reveal unto you who that God is. But you know how else that you get it? One trial after one trial. You get it test after test. And when you get through that test and you're thinking to yourself, I don't know that I can make it, but you just keep pushing. You may not be taking giant steps, but you just keep on moving. Sometimes you may not even be moving, and you stand still and you see the salvation of God. But when the sun begins to shine and you look up and you say, wow, God is faithful. I didn't think I was going to make it, but here I am on the other side, and I made it. I may not have everything that I want, but God is good. And you get more revelation from trial to trial, from one moment to the next moment, here a little bit and there a little bit, line upon line, precept upon precept. You begin to get these things, and you get a revelation. Hey, nothing shall be able to conquer me. That's why Paul could stand and he could write, what shall separate me from the love of God? He said, nothing, nothing, nothing. I am persuaded. You got to have that bulldog mentality. You got to say, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to make it. God is going to bring me through it. And in spite and while it's all going on, I'm going to lift my hands and worship him. We worship him because of who he is. And we praise him for what he has done. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. You, I'm closing, let's stand. You have got to exercise your understanding. That's what the three Hebrew children did. The three Hebrew children exercised their understanding. O king, I'm not careful how to answer you. I know. I have a revelation. I have understanding that my God is able to deliver me from the fiery furnace. And you know what Nebuchadnezzar had already said? Whose God is it that shall be able to deliver them out of my hands? The three Hebrew children said, our God is able. And if he chooses to do so, he'll do it. But if he doesn't choose to do so, that doesn't diminish his power, his ability. Somehow through it all, he's going to get the glory. That is understanding. That is standing when they said,
fall and worship. That is resisting when they said, give in. That is telling peer pressure, get lost. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. That's exercising my understanding. You can choose to say, I understand that I'm going through a hard trial right now. And you can put on sackcloth and ashes. Or you can say, you know what, I'm going through a hard trial right now, but I understand that my God is going to bring me through this. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know what it's going to look like on the other side. But I know that my God can.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. To be a pauper and to go through all kinds of abuse on this side will be worth it all, as the three Hebrew children would say. Doesn't matter to me what he chooses to do. If he chooses to deliver me from the fiery furnace, I'll see you on the other side. But if he doesn't choose to deliver me from the fiery furnace, I'll see you in heaven. It'll be worth it all. Praise God. And so the devil is saying, look at your circumstance, look at your situation. What have you got to be happy about? What have you got to be thankful for? The devil is saying, look, aren't you so tired? Aren't you so this? Aren't you so that? I walked into this service here tonight dead tired. I was at home today. My wife was just staring at me. I came home from studying and getting everything ready, and she was just staring at me like I'm crazy. I'm sitting here trying to turn the light on the wall. There's no light switch even on that wall. She's like, let me help you. We worked like 15 and a half hours yesterday. And you know, it would be really, really easy to just sit back and kick back and say, ah, there's always Sunday. There's always another day. But you know what the devil does with those days? Scored one. And you know where you're going to be? If you take that mentality, you know where you're going to be? Psalms. They said, by the rivers of Babylon. By the rivers of Babylon, did we look over on the other side and we say, oh, I wished I could be over there in Jerusalem again. But we hanged our harps up on the willows and we just began to weep. The world doesn't have a whole lot of fun stuff for you and power and authority and all that stuff. It just wants your worship. That's it. That's it. But what you're going to do is you're going to exercise your understanding and you're going to say, you know what? I may not understand where I am at this moment. I may not understand everything that I'm going through right now. I may not understand the pressure. I may not understand all the little things and the nuances and stuff that's going on. But I do understand that if God be for us, then who can be against us? I may not understand my circumstances, but I do understand that God is good and that God changes not. I may not understand why I'm facing and why I'm going through what I'm going through, but I do know that God will never leave me and he'll never forsake me. I've got a high value for my God, so I'm not going to bring, amen, just a little bit of praise and just a little bit of worship. Oh, no. Hallelujah. That woman, she brought two mites. Just can I say it like this? She brought two pennies and put them in the offering plate.
And people scorned and they laughed and they said, she must not have a very high value of the Lord. And Jesus said, she gave everything that she had. She's given more than you have given. It's not necessarily that amount, amen, but it's the percentage that is there. Hallelujah. I got a God that is greater, amen, than anything that I could imagine. He's greater than my understanding. He's greater than my pocketbook. He's greater than my abilities. Therefore, I gotta give him everything. I owe him a debt that I cannot pay. He was good to me when he came down and offered me salvation. He was good to me when I failed him. He was good to me when I considered quitting. He was good to me when I didn't do all that I should have done. God's been good. Amen. God's been good. God's brought me through the thick and through the thin. God's brought me through the valleys. God's brought me through the darkness. And today I can stand and say, he's never left me, never forsaken me. I may not have understood it all, but God has been good to me. Oh, let's love him today. Come on, worship is a result of your revelation. Worship is a result of your revelation.